Yes, at one point when we were first dating and first married, Rebecca was a way better runner than me. She was way more consistent than I was. I hated running back in the day. Diz Runs Radio, episode 588, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to Diz Runs Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Well, 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 here we are, rapidly reaching the halfway point, the middle of the year. 2018 is, who knew that 6 months could go by so quickly? At least that's what it's felt like. I hope these last 6 months haven't been a complete and utter drag for you. Hope that things are going well and that your year and things in your life are progressing well. But here we are, end of June, which means that for those of you that have been hanging out and listening to the show for a while, you know what's coming. It is time to do a little listener Q&A. And if you're new to these parts, every month at the end of the month, we do a quick Q&A episode. Sometimes quick, sometimes long. Sometimes it depends how many questions there are. Sometimes it depends how talkative I decide to be on any particular day. But I take your questions, you ask them, I answer them. And hopefully, with a little bit of luck, the answers are, at least a few of them, are relevant and helpful. But we cover all areas of running life, everything in between. So, you know, running questions, personal questions, whatever it is, all is fair game. And I do my best to answer those questions for you. If you want to get your questions answered next month, the best way to do so is head over to the Facebook group, dizruns.com/Facebook. Or if you're on the Facebooks, just search for the Diz Runs Tribe and click to join. We'll let you in. And we operate under the presumption that you're innocent until you prove yourself creepy. And so as long as you participate and have a good time and don't just spam us with a bunch of crap, we'll let you hang out and join the party. And then somewhere in the middle of the month, you'll see a post that comes up that asks for your questions. You put them in the comments. I go ahead and answer them. It's a pretty foolproof process. You're welcome to always submit your questions other ways, via email, via social media, things like that. But that is where it becomes less foolproof and more foolish, because not in your end, but on my end, because I lose stuff. It gets lost. It gets buried in my inbox, buried in my direct message folder. I'll see it, forget about it, and then it never gets answered. So if you head to the Facebook group, that is the best chance to get your questions answered. One other quick plug, quick sponsor type moment before we get started with this month's questions. Just a reminder, if you've got a little bit more complicated question, something that might take a little bit of talking, a little back and forth, a little something that I can help you address for you, I offer the consultation calls, the coaching calls, whatever you want to call them. They're just one-off calls. We book up for 20, 30 minutes, whatever it takes, jump on the phone, and I'll help you kind of try to work through whatever problems you're dealing with. So if you'd like more information about that or would like to get something like that set up, head over to dizruns.com/consultation. And we'll get that taken care of. And hopefully, because we can go back and forth instead of me just referencing a question that was written several days ago, I can actually be a bit more proficient in giving good advice. So with that all out of the way, dive into this month's questions. The first one coming from Leanne, who asks, I saw you posted on Instagram the other day that you were going to take a little break from running this week. How did it go? Were you able to do any other activities, fitness or otherwise? Thanks. Great question, Leanne. And yes, you may have noticed, I posted at a few different places that I was dealing with a little bit of burnout. I was a little bit, just wasn't looking forward to my runs. You know, it wasn't nothing, I wasn't physically tired. I wasn't sore, hurt, broken down, anything like that. I just didn't want to go. So I recognized the signs and knew that if I kept forcing myself to try to run more, it was only going to get worse. It wasn't going to get better. So I took a little break. I ended up taking a full week off. Was thinking that maybe it would just be a few days. Was then also thinking maybe it'd be a few weeks. Not sure exactly where it was going to land. It ended up being a week, but took a whole week off. I did some cycling, did some yoga, did some strength training. So I did a few other things. I wasn't nearly as active as I would have been. Kind of had a few days of more rest, you know, some foam rolling and things like that, but nothing really active. And by the end of the week, I was kind of ready to just get my morning routine back on track. And my morning routine definitely, you know, most mornings, it involves going for a run. So took a week off. This week I've been back at it, and it's been great. And I've enjoyed my runs and looked forward to them, which is the most important thing. So, you know, if you ever find yourself treading down that path where you're not having fun with your running, take a few days off, take a week off, take 10 days off. You're not going to drop much of any fitness. My fitness hasn't declined at all in that week off, and I'm excited to run again. So, you know, it does work. If you ever find yourself in that situation, it might be worth taking a week, 10 days, something like that. Just deciding you're not going to run for a certain amount of time and then get back to it. For anybody who deals with some motivational issues or just some lack of fun when it comes to running. But great question, Leanne. Thank you. Next question comes from Mr. Short himself, Chris Short. His wife is going to dominate the second half of the questions this week or this month. But Chris asks, what are some ways to find good running routes when you're traveling? Any other advice for running when away for traveling for work or vacation? So definitely a good bit of advice or a good tip to find good running routes is to head over to the app Fast Zack, which was an app that I talked to the founder, Amanda Brooks, about, a while back. You have to go into the archives. I'll make sure to try to link that up in the show notes if you want to check it out, disruns.com/588. We talked, a couple years ago maybe when she was developing this app. But basically what it is it's kind of like pre-map my run. So, you know, you go into Fast Zack, you open the app up, you type in how many miles you want to run or what kind of distance, how much time, things like that. What places, what landmarks in the city you might be interested in. So if you're visiting a new city, you want to check out these three or four big things that you know, you want to get photo ops by or whatever. You put those into the app, and then it creates a route for you that is as runner friendly as possible. And it's always getting updated. So if somebody comes in and is like, yeah, there's no sidewalk on this road, it'll bump that route down or bump that section of the route down as far as something that doesn't get recommended in the future. But it is a great app, turn by turn navigation. So you won't get lost. You know, I'm here, starting here, ending here. And I want to go 8 miles, and it'll map out a route for you to go 8 miles. So definitely check out Fast Zack. If that's not up your alley, you know, look for running groups, running clubs, things like that are in the area, and reach out to them. There might be a group run while you're there that you can join in. I've done that before when I was in Savannah, when Rebecca and I went to Savannah for our anniversary a few years ago. I just looked up the Savannah Running Club, and we were going to be there over the weekend. So, you know, do you have a group run on Saturdays? Yeah, we do. We meet here. All right, great. I'll see you guys there. And, got in and got to run a different route and different people. And it was great. So those types of things are great. And then as far as, when running, when you're away out of the normal routine, just give yourself a little grace. You know, if you're traveling for work and it's busy, stressful, you got, you know, late dinners and drinks and those types of things that may have to be done, you know, you may not be feeling it in the morning. Okay. Cut yourself some slack. If you're burned out from vacation, running around with the kids and doing sightseeing and this and that and the other, you may not be feeling it to get up in the morning. Okay, no big deal. So just give yourself a little grace if necessary. If you miss a run or you have to bump, you know, a speed workout to just a normal, short, easy run, it's all good. It's all good. Don't worry too much about it. The next question comes from Ellen, who asks, as you know, I've moved from a very flat state where it's hard to find a hill to train on to a state where I can't seem to avoid the hills. As a result, my pace has suffered as well as my mental state. I can't even fathom doing speed work on these hills. How long do you think it will be before I begin to acclimate to this new terrain and start feeling like myself again? Ellen, I think you're going to find that it doesn't take as long as you thought when you asked this question. I know because we worked together that you've already had another really good run since asking this question. So hopefully getting settled a little bit. I mean, let's not kid ourselves in this situation. Ellen, you know, moved. Kids, house, dog, the whole nine yards, moving several states away. So that's a stressful thing. That's a stressful time. Lots going on, lots of things that you're carrying as far as just just, you know, moving is stressful enough, but then you know, finding the kids a new school and all of the things that go along with moving a family, isn't easy. So those first few runs, like, you're stressed out, you're already burnt out, and it's going to be more difficult. Once you start to get unpacked, once you start to get settled, once you start to establish the new home, your whole mood is going to be a little bit lighter. And so you're going to be able to be, you know, the hills are still going to be tough, but you're going to adapt. You're going to adjust. It's going to be less overwhelming. And again, it won't take you, you know, with the base of fitness, and just being consistent, you know, some of the smaller hills will start to feel a lot flatter before long. So just kind of like with Chris's question, give yourself a little grace, accept that it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment period, accept that your pace might be a little bit slower than what you like to see or what you're used to seeing. Go by effort, run by heart rate or rate of exertion, things like that, so that you know you're still pushing where you need to be, even though your pace is slower. And things will start to, you'll start to figure it out. You'll start to find the routes that don't have as many hills. You'll start to know which hills are easier to run and which hills are harder to run, so you can choose accordingly. Some days you're feeling good, you might pick the harder one. Some days you're not feeling as strong, you pick the easier run. But it's not going to take that long. It's not going to take that long. You're going to be fine. You're going to adjust. You know, there's plenty of runners in your area now that run in those hills all the time. So you'll figure it out, and it'll make you a stronger runner when all is said and done. So don't get frustrated. You're gonna be okay. I promise. Millie chimes in with a question now, and pretty much she's got the next three or four or five, and then we'll be wrapped up for today. So kind of a short list today, which happens. You know, the Facebook group is popping these days, so the post gets lost in the shuffle and out of sight, out of mind pretty quickly. So it's all good. I'll have to remember next month to bump it up a couple times. But anyway, Melody comes in with a question, and she prefaces it with a little bit of a statement. Some of the discussion about listening to your body being tired and running in the heat has made me think of this, and I know you've discussed it a few times, but I think it might be helpful to expand on it again for us to hear it once again. So the question, at what point exactly is it better to choose to rest instead of run? You know, the mental game versus your body actually telling you to stop. So just kind of quitting on yourself or whatever, letting your head talk you out of it when your body's capable versus your body not being able to anymore. She says, I've heard that at some point you gain nothing from a run, or at least that the benefits of running do not outweigh the benefits of resting. What is your thought on this topic? So, Lots of thoughts. I definitely think that there's a point where if you're really in pain, if you're really hurting, if running is causing pain in the moment, that's a pretty good sign that you shouldn't be running. You know, at that point, you're definitely doing more damage than you are probably doing yourself any good. So that's, you know, in my mind, obvious, but may not always be obvious to everybody. I don't want to assume that what's obvious to me isn't obvious to someone else. So if the running is causing sharp pain in the moment, pretty good sign to stop. Now, what about the headpiece? If your head is going, you know, kind of where I was, where it wasn't fun anymore, so I took the break, I think that's a good sign as well. If you're really not looking forward to it, if you really don't want to do it, if it's not fun, if you're looking for excuses to not run, I think that you're kind of treading on the line of burnout at that point. And at that point, there's nothing wrong with giving yourself a week off or just giving yourself that day or 2 days or 2 weeks or whatever it is. Give yourself a little bit of a break. Step back, breathe, maybe make a little absence of running, makes the heart grow fonder type of thing. And it won't be long before running's fun again, before you're looking forward to it. So I kind of feel like in that instance, if you're forcing yourself to run because your quote unquote schedule or coach says that you need to run that day, that's not helping you any. You're not enjoying it. And ultimately we should do this for fun. Now that doesn't mean that every run is going to be great, but if you hate the idea of going for a run, by God, don't go for a run. So, you know, that's one area. If you're really fatigued, if you're really tired, if you didn't get much sleep last night, and you're trying to get up early to get your run in today to beat the heat a little bit, you know, on the one hand, kudos to you for sticking to the schedule and wanting to do it. On the other hand, are you going to get a quality run in today? Are you going to get a good workout in? If it's an easy run, are you going to be relaxed and be able to run easy? Or are you still, you know, stressed out from a late night, early morning, things like that? So, you know, I had that issue a few weeks ago as well, where I was doing my heart rate variability and it was like off the charts low because I was up late for an interview and I planned to get up early to go for a good hard workout. And my numbers were just telling me no. So I I backed off. I didn't go run. You know, if you're not measuring that data, maybe I would have gone to run and caused myself more problem than it would have been good for, you know, than it would have been benefit. So, you know, there's not a one size fits all. There's not a black and white definition of if this run, if that don't run. I think it's one of those where you kind of have to know yourself. You have to know your body, know what your body's telling you, know if it really is your head trying to just be lazy or, take a day off when you don't need to versus your body going, dude, we really need a break here today. And ultimately I think the only way to really learn that is through trial and error, is through making some choices that, aren't the greatest, but you don't know any better. So you push through one day, you force the run, and then you, afterwards you're like, God, that was stupid. Well, note that. Keep that in your mind so that the next time you're in a similar situation, you don't force the run when you're really not feeling it. And on the other, on the flip side, on the day when you don't really want to go, so you say, "What? You know what? Screw it. I'm going back to bed. I'm just going to relax a bit today and take an unscheduled day off." If later in the day you're kicking yourself going, "I really didn't need that day off. There was no point. I just sat on the phone playing Candy Crush for that 45 minutes when I could have been running." Well, all right. Note to self: next time you're having those same types of thoughts, maybe it's a good time to power through. So, I'm sorry that I don't have a better answer other than you just have to kind of try to figure it out. And whichever way you choose, if you feel like in hindsight that you made the wrong choice that day, don't beat yourself up again. You know, it's kind of a theme for this episode. Give yourself a little bit of a grace. Use it as a learning experience. All right. This time I probably should have taken that day off. All right. So next time I'm in a similar situation, I need to remember that. Take a day off. It's going to be okay. And vice versa, obviously. Next question coming from Chris: is this the shortest QA list ever? Yeah, it was shaping up to be. We got a few more ones added on here in the last couple of days, which bumped it up to a little bit longer length, but it's definitely a little bit shorter than usual. Another question from Chris, probably trying to add a few more questions to this episode, said, running any races this fall? Yes. Yes. As I announced in the Facebook group, and I think I've announced it in the email list, and now I think I'm announcing it here. And there will be another official announcement coming up in a few weeks when I interview a race director, but I am running the Seven Bridges Half Marathon in Chattanooga, Tennessee on, I believe the weekend is the 20th and 21st of October, whatever that Sunday is. I think it's the 21st. It might be the 20th, but I think it's the 21st. And that's in 2018. I'm not speaking at the race this year. Hopefully, fingers crossed, maybe I'll be able to speak there next year if they bring the speaking thing back. They had a speaker last year. This year, they're not. If they do next year, hopefully I can throw my name in the hat and get lucky and get pulled to come back up to Chattanooga and speak next year. But this year, just going to go run it. Rebecca's going to run the half. I'm going to run the full. And we're looking forward to it. We've already got Nana and Papa coming to the house for the weekend to take care of the dogs and the kid. So yeah, it's going to be good. And I'm willing to buy the first round of drinks after the race for anybody who shows up. And if you want to come join us at the race, DizRuns is the code. Use the coupon code DizRuns when you register. 7bridgesmarathon.com is the website. Number 7bridgesmarathon.com. Use code DizRuns to save yourself 10%. And like I said, I'll be there. Probably going to be there at least Saturday, if not even there on Friday, making a full long weekend of it. Probably coming home on Monday. So yeah, if you're going to be there, let me know. We'd love to meet up with you and have a drink afterwards. And there are a couple more races that may be coming and may be announced soon, still in kind of some talks. Those ones also may include a little speaking. Hopefully, I mean, you all know that's been something we've been working towards this year and trying to make happen. And obviously, as soon as I know for sure if I'm going to be somewhere, I'll be letting everybody know and hoping that a few of you can join me at some of those places. So if you still have a couple openings on your fall race schedule, there might be some things kind of middle of the country area, kind of the center spine of the U.S. are a couple places that I might be, hopefully will be, and hopefully I'll be able to let you know about it sooner rather than later. So now we got, I think, 3 questions in a row from Melody, 4 questions, 5 questions, a whole bunch of questions in a row from Melody, and then we'll wrap this thing up for today. So the first one. So I noticed that every time I ask what you think about me running a race, you give me the green light. Is there a point when you can run too many races? Yes-ish. Yes-ish. So, yes, Melody is a client of mine, and there's been several times where, especially recently, where she's like, "Oh, I thought about doing these races. What do you think?" Sure, go for it. But is there a point when I would say no, when I would step in? It depends on what the goals are for the races, what the distance of the races are, things like that. If you're trying to push long and hard all the time and you can't run a race and run it at 75% or something like that, that's when I'm probably going to jump in and say no. And there's been, I have some athletes that I work with that I do that for. I say, yeah, I don't think it's a good idea. It's not a good idea to run that race when there's a goal race that's coming up 6 weeks later and, that race is going to possibly cause us to have some issues, some aches and pains, just some of that hard effort of a race day. Because I know that particular athlete isn't the type of person that can say, all right, I'm going to sign up for this race. I'm going to run this race, but I'm just going to run it. I'll just do the last couple miles hard, or I'm going to run it basically as a workout, as a long run, instead of my regularly scheduled long run for that day. Because they're competitive, because they're going to get in that race day environment and want to go hard, I got to protect them from themselves a little bit. So if you're that type of person, then yeah, there's a point where there's too many races, where if you're going to run every race hard, that's a problem. Even if you're getting into shorter races, if you're running a shorter race every weekend, it limits how much good training you can do because you're always in kind of recovery/taper mode, even for something like 5Ks and 10Ks. Now, if you're a more seasoned runner, if you've been running for years and running a hard 5K really isn't that big of a deal for you, it probably won't impact you much. But if you're newer to the sport, or if you're creeping out into a little bit longer distances, there can be a point when too many races are too many. Now, on the flip side, if you're the type of person who can handle running, some races and leaving a little bit in the tank that day because it's not the goal race, or they're spread out far enough, or the distances aren't so long that it's a big deal, or we've got, two or three options so we can kind of see, that are all 3 weeks apart, say. And so, we can kind of run each of them hard if necessary, or if you run the first one, great. We can run the second one for fun, or if you're not feeling good for the first one, no worries, because we got two more races coming up. We can just run this one as a training run and run the next one hard. We've got more options when there's more races, as long as you're the type of runner that can be disciplined and not run every race hard. So, to answer your question, Melody, I think that there is a point when too many races becomes not a good thing, where there actually is a good reason to draw the line. But I also think that line, the number, is going to vary from runner to runner. For some, it might be two races. For some, it might be 15 races. For some, it might be even more than that. Again, depending on the distance, duration, time frame, years of training, there's a whole lot of variables that go into it. So it's definitely not a cookie cutter, one size fits all, which you probably all noticed by now that I don't do much of anything that's a one size fits all. So that's another example right there. Melody, another question. Do you think some people are not cut out for running long distances? Have you ever had to tell someone that you believe they've reached their limit? I would be sad if I heard that. Not really. Do I think that people are not cut out for running long distances? Not really. This is another one where, it's not going to be cut and dry. It's not going to be black and white. There's more gray than there is black or white in this answer. I think that some people's bodies definitely struggle more with running longer. And that's not just somebody who's like, oh, I've never run before, and of course my body's going to revolt if I try to go run a marathon next week. But people that have been running for a while, people that have been running for years sometimes, for whatever reason, body, mechanics, form, shoes, diet, nutrition, rest, there's a whole host of variables that may come into play here. But for some of those folks, they may get to where, if they try to do anything more than a 15 miler, even a marathon day, even on race day, they can't do that 26 miles. 15 miles is a sweet spot. They can go anything less than that and they're fine. Not too much soreness. They can race it. They can run it easy, whatever. But if they start going above that, they really start to break down. They really start to have problems. I think that there's some people like that. However, I think that in most of those cases, not all, but in most of those cases, if we really looked close, we could find a couple of weak links in the armor, weak links in the chain, if you will, that if we could address those and strengthen those areas, that same runner that can't go past 15 miles could probably do it without problem. They're not looking at the right areas to improve in some of those cases. Again, could be form, could be diet, could be strength training, could be stretching, could be sleep, could be active recovery, could be running easy versus not running easy enough on the easy days. Whole host of options that could be there. But I think that in most cases, if you can figure out what that weak spot is and address that, that most people, assuming that they train intelligently, again, not somebody who's never run before and has maybe got some extra weight that they're carrying and you're going to just throw them out there to go crazy, like that's going to be a problem. But build them up gradually, start couch to 5K and intelligently increase them up. I think that I mean, you know, I hate to get too born to run with you, but I think that we are created to be, you know, our body structure is created or has evolved, however you want to look at it, to allow us to run good distances. Maybe not always fast, maybe not as some faster than others, some farther than others, but I don't think that just in general that there's types of people who can't do it. When you take away all the external factors that may be limiting them right now. Again, a smart training plan over time, patience building to it, I think most people can probably figure it out and or get the help to get to where they want to be. So I again, gray area, there's going to be exceptions to those rules, but I don't think that for the most part, anyone is just inherently not cut out to be able to run longer distances. So follow-up question, she's asked, have you ever had to tell someone that they shouldn't run at all? No, I haven't. I have had to tell some folks or have the conversation with folks that maybe this race, we shouldn't do this race that we signed up for because of, you know, things that happened during the training cycle. Maybe had to have the conversation of, you know, maybe we shouldn't try to do more right now. You know, maybe we should stay focused on this distance right now instead of trying to move on to the next thing every time. Not that you could never get there, but just because, hey, like let's, you know, stick with something for a little while. Let's build a little momentum at this distance before we move on to the next distance. So, I've never just had to tell someone point blank that they shouldn't run at all or that they shouldn't try to do more. But I've tightened on the reins a few times and tried to pull back, and sometimes people listen, sometimes they don't. And that's okay, you know, but, there's usually a method behind my madness or a reason for it at least. But yeah, thankfully I haven't had to tell somebody that running is just not for them, because I don't think that in most cases that's the case. I think that if we try to figure it out, we can figure it out. It just, you know, sometimes takes a little time and effort and trial and error to get there. So hope all that makes sense. Two more questions, I think, right? Yes. Two more questions from Melody, and we'll be wrapping this thing up with what ends up being a pretty normal length Q&A episode, which is good. Thank you for all the questions, Melody. I appreciate it. So second to last question for today, what's the best way to breathe when you're running? Is there a right way or a wrong way, or not so much? This is a question I've talked about this before. At least I know I've talked about it somewhere. Sometimes I talk about things in too many places and I forget where and when, and whether it was a Q&A, whether it was a quick tip, whether it was just in an email, I don't know, but no worries. I'm happy to touch on it again because I know there's always new folks that are around that maybe haven't heard some of those past episodes. So the best way to breathe when you're running, there was an article, and again, I'll link to this one in the show notes, dizruns.com/588, that was in Runner's World several years back now, gosh, probably 5, 6, 7 years ago, that was talking all about, I think the title of the article was Breathing on Air, or else that was a book and it was an excerpt from the book, whatever, something like that, that talks about how to breathe and that our normal cyclical, like a lot of runners do, where they breathe in for 2 steps and out for 2 steps and in for 2 steps and out for 2 steps, can actually cause some problems, can actually... because of how we breathe, where we relax the diaphragm to inhale, if you're doing that every time on a 2-in, 2-out status, you know, rhythm, every time, every 2 strides in, 2 strides out, you're always releasing the diaphragm, the tension in your core when that same foot hits the ground. And that is an incredibly destabilizing effect on your core. So it forces that one leg to every other step or whatever it is to really have to stabilize your whole core because you've relaxed your diaphragm to breathe in. Versus if you do that in an odd breathing pattern, so it's either 2 breaths in and 1 breath out or 3 breaths in and 2 breaths out, so that every other cycle you're taking that initial inhale on the opposite leg, you're kind of forcing your body's the stabilizing musculature in your core to work on both sides of your body as opposed to just one side. And the idea behind it, the idea that was posed in that article, and I'm assuming posed in the book, although I haven't read the book, is that decreases your risk of injury because instead of always stressing, say, your right side, you're evening out the stress on both sides. So your body stays more balanced, more aligned, less likely to have, you know, like an IT band issue or something like that on one side because it's always bearing the brunt of that destabilized core when you're inhaling. So all that to say, I don't know for sure that it's better than the other, The science makes sense. The logic makes sense. After reading that article, I focused on changing my breath so that I was doing the odd breathing pattern. And for the most part, I think I'm doing that now. You know, I don't think about it anymore. Every once in a while, I'll catch myself and I'll pay attention. And I'm usually on with the three and the two. Actually, I'm usually the two and the one. But if I'm going real easy, I might switch into three and two. But it works. It's become something that's second natured. And I can't tell you for sure that it's made a difference in my injury pattern or not. But I know I used to breathe in, and two out. And since making the switch, I haven't had any type of real serious injuries. I'm not trying to draw a straight line. I'm not saying that there's a causation, but if it adds a little bit and I was able to make the change relatively painlessly, worth it. So if you want to check that article out, like I said, I'll link to it, disruns.com/588, into the show notes. Or you can just Google, you know, how to breathe while running, runner's world, something like that. And it should pop right up. Like I said, it was an article from a few years back, but an interesting article, something that I hadn't thought about before. And I definitely have changed a little bit on how that works. So last question for this week. Thank you to everybody who left questions this month. Sorry. Thank you to everyone who left questions this month. One more from Melody. Are you and Rebecca competitive? Do you try to outrun each other, use each other to motivate yourselves, remembering a story you told on a podcast? I know at one point Rebecca used to run faster than you. So when it comes to our running, we are not competitive. In large part because we are not equal as far as how fast and endurance and things like that at this point. Yes, at one point when we were first dating and first married, Rebecca was a way better runner than me. She was way more consistent than I was. I hated running back in the day, as you may have heard me talk about at several points in various other places. I was not somebody who enjoyed running, and Rebecca did. So she'd talk me into going running with her, and she was that annoying person that would run circles around you and then run forward and then run back and then run backwards, trying to tell you, come on, let's go. And I wanted to, you know, tell her what I was thinking at that point. But, obviously I didn't, because we're married. So obviously I didn't let loose at that point. But I don't know that we were ever competitive in running. Because our trajectories have been so different, you know, she kind of came down and stopped running as much right when I was kind of starting to run more. And so we've never really been in a point where we're close or even in terms of pace, endurance, things like that. So I hope we motivate each other. I know I am motivated by her when she's able to get out and making it a priority for herself. I hope that I enable her to do that by, you know, helping with making sure to take care of Addison. Like, hey, just go for a run. Like, I got things. Like, we're good at the house, things like that. And maybe, you know, seeing what I can do is maybe help motivate her a little bit. I don't know. Outside of running, I think that we are somewhat competitive. At least if we ever got into an evenly matched endeavor. So, you know, playing board games, doing things like that, we're definitely competitive. You know, just anything that would be like, I'm a competitive person. I've been into sports and athletics all my life. I like to compete. I like to win. I like to just, you know, not win at all costs, obviously, but I like to do that. And she is too. So, you know, there's definitely a little bit of competition. There is the possibility for competition in our household, but right now it's not, you know, the things that I'm more interested in, the things that she's more interested in, either run very parallel to each other, or they're just in such opposite worlds, or we're at such different points that it's not worth being competitive, you know, and it's like for running right now, it's just not like what would be the point in me trying to, in us competing if, you know, she's running 12 minute pace is kind of her fastest pace. And I'm running 10:30 pace as an easy controlled heart rate pace. Like what, you know, her long runs are 4 to 6 miles, mine are 12 to 18 miles. Like there's no hierarchy, but there's not a whole lot where it would make sense for us to compete right now. So hopefully I would love it if we could be a little bit more competitive down the road. If she kept being consistent with her training, I kept being consistent with my training, and she rose up to my level. And I don't mean to sound douchey when I say that, but I don't want to let my fitness fade so that we could be competitive. I would love to see her fitness improve to the point where she is right there pushing me in a race, or, you know, kicking my butt on total mileage for the week or things like that. So, I think there's some competition that could be in there, but, right now it's supportive, and it's hopefully, like I said, motivational for each other. But yeah, she definitely, definitely used to be faster than me. So that is it. That is the questions for June. Like I said at the top, if you want to get your questions in next month, just join the Facebook group. Head over to DizRuns.com/Facebook or search for the DizRuns Tribe on Facebook. If you search DizRuns on Facebook these days, there's a few other groups that might pop up. You want to join the tribe. That's the open group. You know, there's a group for the patrons. There's a group for my athletes that I work with in the coterie and in the one-to-one level. So we've got a few different groups out there, but you'll figure it out. The DizRuns Tribe, that's the group to join. It's got 800 and something people in it now, adding more just about every day. So come in, join the club, have some fun. That's the most important thing. If you're going to be in the group, I know there's some lurkers in there, and that's cool. If you're one of the lurkers, it's not a big deal. But I love seeing different people posting things, posting photos, sweaty selfies, all that good stuff. Keep yourself accountable and let the group help you out. And join in the conversations. There's a lot of good times happening there. DizRuns.com/Facebook. And if you need some help on anything that's a little bit more personal than just submitting a question for a podcast episode, DizRuns.com/consultation. We'll get you squared away and hopefully help you and get you right on the right track with overcoming an injury, planning for a race, figuring something out, whatever it might be. Happy to do a little one-off coaching in that front, and hopefully that it helps you. So with that, we'll go ahead and put a bow on this thing. Once again, DizRuns.com/588 is the link for the show notes for this episode. Got a few things linked up there, the article from Runner's World, the conversation with Amanda from back in the day about Fast Zach, and I don't know, there are a couple other things I think I mentioned, so we'll make sure everything's linked up. DizRuns.com/588. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed this one. As always, if you did, feel free to pass it along. Share it with somebody else. Tell other people about the show. We've been growing like crazy in the last 6 months. And it's because of you guys. So thank you for all you do to support the show, support me. Hopefully I can continue to give back and even give back more as this thing continues to pick up steam. Get different sponsors, different discounts, things like that, and pass all that stuff back to you. And maybe I can do a few more things as well. Got some ideas coming. Just got to be able to make it happen. So, and the show growing is a big step towards taking us there. So thank you. And until next time, please be well, take good care, and we'll talk soon. See you guys.